Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
If you believe in the role clean hydrogen is going to play in reducing emissions and making the world a better place in the future, you're going to love this interview with HPQ Silicon. And that's because Deloitte Touche has already put out a study that said achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 is going to require the development of a clean hydrogen market equivalent to 170 million tons by 2030. That's 6 years from now. However, as of 2021, less than a million tons of hydrogen demand out of the total 94 million tons came from low emission sources, with the rest produced by fossil fuels. Enter HPQ Silicon. Along with their France-based affiliate, Novacium, they've developed a low-carbon, chemical-based, on-demand, high-pressure, autonomous hydrogen production system. That's a mouthful. In essence, it's hydrogen on-demand that's safe and clean. That has never existed before. Unlike traditional electrolysis-based hydrogen production systems, their process operates without the need for electricity, without the need for its extensive storage, and without the need of complex transportation infrastructure, making it a truly autonomous on-demand solution. And the press release we're talking about today, the signing of a multilateral commitment to explore the possible integration of their hydrogen manufacturing technology into vehicles made by Arcus out of France. Bernard, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. Been a long time. 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I got a feeling you've hacked my Expedia account because I'm in Vancouver this week. It seems like every time I go away, you've got an important press release for us to talk about, hence the lighting situation again. But back to this, I was taken by surprise this morning when I saw this press release. It was amazing. And I'll tell you why. One of the biggest things for me, we've always heard you talk about your hydrogen manufacturing and the incredible advantages it has. Now it could be a game changer. But the fact of the matter is, when all of us at home, we really don't know, right? We're not specialists in the specs and the technology. So we need third-party validation to really tell us, hey, does Bernard really know what he's talking about here? I look at this as third-party validation. We've read about Arcus, but a lot of people who are listening to this by podcast or watching it for the first time haven't. Who is Arcus? Why does this create great third-party validation about your hydrogen manufacturing technology?
Okay. If you follow the logical steps, okay, of what we've announced in the hydrogen division, okay, we announced first that Novacium had filed a patent for an autonomous system. Then we announced an MOU with Eleminov to present ourselves to the military infrastructure, because that is really one of the big areas that needs an autonomous hydrogen delivery system, right? So at that moment, the precipice of the discussion was in combat situation, you need hydrogen for drones operations, okay? But you cannot use any traditional process to deliver that hydrogen on the field. This is where our technology comes in.
Now, what happens? It's just too dangerous.
It's too dangerous. It's impossible. Like, you cannot carry. See, all the applications for hydrogen require pressurized hydrogen. The default is you cannot ship pressurized hydrogen very, very far away from its source, okay, without massive amount of complication. And definitely not in the battlefield, because that becomes a big red sign with a target on it. So there's a need for an autonomous delivery system. Now, as part of our discussion, as part of our marketing team in France, our sales team, sort of like, that's what Eleminov is for us. They're sort of our sales team. They started to present this solution to different industrial in France that are related to the military complex. And Arcus showed an interest because they see a need for it. Like, everybody understands that you won't be able to switch everything to hydrogen. You won't be able to change to 100% hydrogen. You won't be able to change everything to electricity because of recharging time and all those issues. But there needs to be sort of an hybrid solution that comes into it. Now, for that hybrid solution to work, you need a way to have autonomous hydrogen everywhere. And this is where we come in. So it's a demonstration, it's another, it's an additional demonstration of the concrete interest there is for what we are doing. Okay.
Okay, so great. What I want to know first was, who is Arcus? Because a lot
okay,
of us don't
know
Arcus, who they are.
Well, you know me. I'll go.
Let's talk about how big they are, how important they are to all this.
Okay, Arcus used to be the old Renault military truck division that was bought by Volvo. Okay, so it's probably one of the second biggest logistic equipment manufacturer in Europe in the military field. So it is a big player, and it's part of a big group that is Volvo. But at this stage, it is a company that generates, you know, close to $1 billion of sales, and it can be a very interested client for us for us to deliver those material. So the key point is they're in the field that we're looking into. They've shown an interest in what we're doing, and we're working with them to get it forward.
Yeah, and I thought that was important to get across because, look, we're in North America. We don't know who Arcus is, you know, and for all you know, it's George Calm swimming pool heaters.
It's five units to help me
heat my friend's pools. I think it's really important for everyone to understand just how big Arcus is, especially in the in the military world out there. So how does integrating, talk to us about how do they, what are their specific reasons for signing this multilateral commitment to explore, you know, what were obviously safety is what you talked about at the outset, but why HPQ? Why not somebody else? Why not George Calm?
Okay, first of all, okay, nobody is doing what we're doing in the sense of the small scalable technology. There might be other people that are working around hydrolysis, okay, but from my understanding, where we are in the field of doing it, there's not many people doing this. Actually, nobody else that we've seen. Okay, somebody, pretty sure somewhere somebody's going to find me. Yes, but this company might do something similar. Fine. Okay, but where we are in the process of having an autonomous system, okay, that uses a process of doing it, you know, we are, Novacium is at the leadership position in that regard, and HPQ being associated with Novacium, We're part of the infrastructure, because either they're going to be using silicone to make green hydrogen, or they'll use other alloys that do use silicone into it. Okay. Plus, you know, we have a right of selling this material everywhere else. And I've just started some discussion with some First Nation groups that could be showing some interest in deploying those technologies instead of having dirty diesel generator wherever they are. So the market for what we're talking about is massive. Okay, that's always a prerequisite. Where we are in the timeline now, we are building the first demonstration generator, and from then on, there'll be contracts. Probably once we have the demonstration generation, contracts will start coming in for selling them.
So before we get to that, I want to elaborate on that a little bit. I want to elaborate on this headline, because the headline is, we're exploring the possible integration of our hydrogen tech into, you know, I'm paraphrasing, into their vehicles. Can you talk about what you mean by exploring? So give us some steps, if you don't mind. You talked a little bit about a prototype, but let's give everyone at home, if you don't mind, a little bit of outlook as to the steps in order to get to a situation where they like it and potentially become an actual commercialized customer.
Well, the first step for us is building the first prototype, which is going to be done this year, and for us starting to deliver and coming online. But you know, you don't integrate these things overnight. Okay, so you have to start thinking. So there'll be exchange about, this is how our system works. Where can it fit in? How can we make it fit? Can we make some modifications? So this is all, because this sort of agreement is sort of a combination of an NDA with an MOU into it, sort of like. That's what this type of agreement is, which is normal in the process of commercializing a new technology, right? It's a new process. So they want to get in earlier in the process so they can figure out, okay, this looks very promising. Can you meet these type of specifications? So we can exchange information and see how we can make the equipment they exactly need to make it fit in their truck. Of course, everything that we learn doing this is going to have multiple application everywhere else. If it works on a military truck, it's going to work on a civilian truck. Okay, so it is just the beginning phases. Okay, it's just like consider that stage one of the development of the commercial development of this.
But it's fair to say, you're right. Obviously, this is stage one, but fair to say, this goes back to our initial question about who is our Q's. Mm-hmm. This is a big, you know, old, very successful company. They're part of the Volvo Group. They're not wasting their time here. Right? This is not a case of, they're dedicating resources. They're making a commitment to go through this exploration, right? So even though it's just the beginning, it's mm-hmm. fair to say, Bernard, it's the beginning of a very serious process.
All the processes are very serious. Okay, you have to understand the micro environment. You came out with that number from I forgot which
Deloitte.
KPMG or wherever
Deloitte.
Said that. Deloitte. Okay, it's a known fact that everybody talks about. We have to reduce the CO2 emission. You know, some people chaining themselves up to trees. You know, we're building an electric factory here in Quebec, and some people are chaining us up to trees. No, you can't cut the trees. We have to do something. But people, you know, there's a lot of chicken with no head running. Okay, we are actually developing a system to meet that demand. So the demand is there. It's really it's a bit like in the fumed silica. Okay, if you make it, they will come. We know we can make it. We know all the parameters. We know where we are in the system. And just talking about this, if you go back to, and I understand a lot of people like to say that fluff press release, but we issued two press releases. One of them, which was the patent. Second one was we signed in and let me know. And we said we will be presenting this in October, I believe, at a military convention system. Okay. Well, from that preliminary discussion, we got this first /NDA yeah. MOU. Which demonstrated
moving along pretty quick. It's fair to say
it is moving along pretty quick. Like I, you know, sometimes I really don't get the thinking of people's like it should be faster. No, that everybody that says that basically has an ulterior motive in saying this.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm going to address those investors too. It's like I don't even think they're investors. They're guys just they're the funsters, right? But hey, we're not making pizzas here. You know, we're not doing basic things like this. I mean, there's a bit of a long process, but this is the fastest way through this long process at the same time, right? Yeah. Would it be fair to say that, Bernard?
Yes, but that's the issue is that investors or some people, you know, make things because it takes time, it doesn't work. I'll give an example. It took us a year and a half to get the government grant to build a QRR. But we got it. I'm not saying it's going to take that long. I we're much more advanced in the way we're doing it, but it's sort of like there's a normality to this. Like I'm in the fumed silica. Okay, I'll give another example. We keep exchanging with different groups about moving forward, and it is moving forward. Like I'm not going to issue a press release on every time we have a bit of it, but I can present the picture correctly to say we're going in the right direction. This is the normal path it takes. It starts with you have an idea. You can demonstrate you can build a prototype system, okay? In the hydrogen section, because my guys have so much experience in it, this is sort of like a fourth, fifth version or a growing version or a completely rethought version of what they were doing, but this is still the same path. So there's an expertise. So we will have a demonstration. On the fumed silica, we've demonstrated we make it. On the battery side, pretty soon we'll be coming and talking about what we're doing there. We're advancing at full speed on three different initiatives. And, you know, it's important for me to remind shareholders, real shareholders, okay, why they invested in HPQ. They invested in HPQ because they were looking for game-changing technologies that will have a profound impact on everybody's life. And that's what we're doing, okay? That doesn't happen overnight. And eventually it will happen overnight. You know how it is, George.
And I'll also add in this, though. At the same time, a lot mm-hmm. of companies in this world have been guilty of GeorgeCom renewables. So we're going to solve these problems, and it's a $10 trillion market, and we're going to solve these problems. Mm-hmm. They really don't have anything. But in all three legs, you've got great third-party validation. Like on the fumed silica, you got three of the biggest fumed silica manufacturer of the world who have signed NDAs with you. Here mm-hmm. on the green hydrogen, now you've got our Q's. No doubt about the fact that you are delivering something real as opposed to pie in the sky. George Com is going to solve these problems, but we really don't have a clue how we're going to do it. We just want to sell some stock one day. Let me go back to going back to this. Does this accuse, because this happened, I remember I asked you this with, when you're signing NDAs on the QRR side, when you're signing your first NDAs on the fume silica side, I always asked you, does this raise your awareness with that target market and do you expect more? And they always did. So my question here is specifically on this Arcuse news, does this resonate into their world, you know, the military, let's call it the military vertical, where other companies now have no doubt probably seen this and said, hey, hold on here. What is this technology? Who is HPQ? Who is Novasium? We need to take a look and explore this as well. Do you expect there to be, just like you've had the other two verticals, do you expect this vertical to get, incoming calls?
Yes, but I think this one's going to be different because in this section, okay, we have a partner, LM Innov, okay, which have strong ties within the European French military infrastructure, okay? And it is them that are pushing us to move faster to get the demonstrated, to get the system moving forward. How can we speed it up? So it's very different. I sort of have like, in all the other one, it's sort of, it's more organic how we get there. This one is more sales driven, okay? I can tell you that if we had already, the first generator down and we knew the cost, we could probably start to get orders even before we finished. Those are the level of discussions we're having internally and moving that forward. So it's important for me to keep my shareholders, my real shareholders, okay, updated of what's going on, okay? I would hate for shareholders to listening to the FUDs decide to get out now, because what will happen is we will become a 10 years or 5 years overnight success. And you know how it is, George. One event, which one it is.
Almost every foreign company.
Yeah, it's what's going to be the trigger event for this? I don't know. If I knew, I'd be a gazillionaire, but I'm not. I'm just highly invested in HPQ.
I also like the fact that, look, we know green hydrogen is going to be clean hydrogen is going to be really important to reducing emissions. And there are 1,000 applications. But the problem with that is, what I see with companies all the time, they're chasing every potential lead in the different verticals, different applications. And the fact is they get nowhere. So here it's clear that this leg of the company is focusing, and I like this, in France and specifically in the military vertical. Mm-hmm. So is it safe to say that that's where you're going to focus a lot of your efforts here at the beginning to get to the pilot plant, to get to a commercial, commercial product, and then think about going beyond?
Yeah, I got an email from somebody asking me, what you're using to use that system to generate the electricity for your QRR or your technologies. And it cannot, because it doesn't exist. Universal energy doesn't exist. If we take silicone as the energy source, hydrogen, when you use a hydroelectricity to hydrogen to go down, there's always a decrease in the energy part. What we are working on is that we need to have hydrogen and everywhere. Okay, we need hydrogen in the northern territories of Canada to replace diesel generator, which are very polluting. The problem is you can't ship there. Okay, it doesn't really make any sense to make basically wind turbines to generate the electricity to make the hydrogen. It'd be much more simpler just to ship in container the raw material needed to generate the hydrogen. You make it because we don't. It's a fully circular technology. So the image that people have to understand is our technology has an important place. Will fit an important place in a massive market. And we are advancing into this. What this document shows today, what this interest shows today is that, as you say, it's not just me talking this. There's at least one big company that already started, says, we want your technology now. The need for this technology is now.
And by the way, the example you're giving earlier about shipping hydrogen and using wind turbines, that's a status quo. That's not your solution, is solving that problem. I want to make sure.
Yeah. My solution, you know, our solution basically resolves that issue, but because it gives the opportunity to generate the electricity or the energy on demand. That's what hydrogen is, you know.
Devil's advocate, because I don't care who you are, and not you specifically, I don't care what company there's in the world, when they create something new, there are challenges for sure. I mean, and we've seen Samsung, who wiped out an entire generation of phones because the batteries they put in them back then, well, remember that about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, the batteries putting in them were lighting up on fire, and they had to scrap an entire generation of phones. So every tech company has its challenges. What do you foresee? What are some technical challenges that you'll have in order to get to the pilot stage and be able to get to full commercialization stage?
As I said, I think we've addressed most of them internally, and especially with the concept of us joining our technology with another proven technology will reduce the levels of risk. There's always a bit of risk, but it's mostly going to be, I think, basically fine-tuning the system and getting to work better, getting more efficiency out of the system, and then for us to be able to deliver. Because, you know, the great revenue part out of this for HPQ is going to be like a printer, okay? It's not the printer you make money with. It's the ink, okay? And that's what we control. We'll control the ink. We'll control what goes into it. Okay. Like I'll use the analogy that I used before for the fumed silica, where I said, you know, it's like oil. You know, you got gas. I just eliminate all the with fumed silica. I eliminate all the refinery. Okay. Well, in this case, okay, I own the refinery, which is very green because it was, I own the refinery, and I'm the only one that can sell this because it's a patented process. So the potential revenue generation from this is massive, and we're just at the beginning of moving forward. And that's just one of the verticalities within HPQ. And eventually, eventually, the market will wake up to this reality. Forget what the FUDs are saying, because everything is moving forward toward reaching that goal.
If everything goes eventually as planned, because nobody does this straight to their goal, you always have a little of this, you know, we know that, we've seen that just in the last 4 or 5 years, but you've gotten here. If everything does go well with this, with your hydrogen initiative, I'm assuming at some point you're going to start entering into licensing agreements, right? Because HPQ Novaciem, you guys are not going to be able to attack the entire global market. So do you foresee a situation, this is me guessing, but I'm asking, do you see it for a situation where you start entering into licensing agreements for different verticals, you know, for commercial real estate, for residential real estate, for transportation, municipal transportation vehicles? Do you foresee that? Is that what you see the future being if everything goes well?
There are multiple ways, but as I just said, okay, we're going to focus ourselves on being the one that furnishes the ink for the cartridges, so that we're the only one that does that. Everybody else can go with all the verticalities they want. You know, if you want exclusivity for this, as long as you guarantee that you're going to buy me that X amount, sure, we'll look into this. But that's in the thinking. That's coming along. Okay, but that's moving forward. You know, the way for us to monetize these technologies are multiple, and all of them.
Well, if you get it working on the military side, you basically have the solution for all the verticals, right? You may have to have a couple of tweaks or something like that, but you get it right here. So, is there on that note, what's the level of enthusiasm with our Arcus? What's the level of enthusiasm maybe in France? I'm not sure. Are government entities watching this and saying, you know, you might get access to grants and things like that? What's the level of excitement around this to make it happen beyond just Bernard and the HPQ team? And the
George, I've issued press release on this. I've shown there is interest for grant. There is division of grant. There was one issue that sort of like slowed down the process of getting the grant that was related to something that's now been resolved. But actually, in retrospect, that was helpful to us because, you know, it forced us to rethink our solution, and we came up with a better solution, which is actually going to be faster to market. So as bizarre as it is, that's how it is. So we found ways to advance, keep moving forward in this regard. And I'm very proud of what the work that the guys at Novasyama did. I'm very proud of what we have. Okay. I'm very excited what we have the potential of this. Okay. It is very rare that you set out an R&D project. Okay. And you have sort of like three big verticalities. And suddenly the three big verticalities you have are coming to fruition toward commercialization almost at the same time.
And each one of them is a company maker. That's a great part. Yeah. Each one of them is a company maker. Mm-hmm. So even in a worst case scenario, just have to be successful one of the three, let alone three of the three. And you've made, you potentially made a global company.
VC investors, their rule of thumb is 1 out of 10 is going to work, okay? Well, the way I'm seeing it right now from the information I have, which people have to remember, I have more information than whatever the fudsters have out there, okay? I'm seeing like, oh, we could have a 3 for 3.
Well, 3 years ago, we might have said it might be 0 for 3, it's too early, but clearly, as you keep going down this path of third-party validation, independent testing, NDAs, MOUs, and there's a reason why, you know, all these companies are so interested. So, you know, that's pretty exciting. Just remember one thing, though. I want to make sure we get on the record here for everyone, and you're on the record, so you can't get out of it, that at some point, the license for swimming pool heaters is going to come to me, because that's what I want. I want the license to be able to use this.
It'll come to you. I didn't say how much I would give it to you for
swimming pool heaters, because I got 10,000 people who are going to buy them. And I just want to be on the record here. So in case that's ever up for dispute, my man.
Well, you're going to have to write a big check.
last words to you. So, what should we wait for next on the hydrogen side? Is there going to be a bit of a gap here? Because now, okay, we're in with Arcus. You know, our partners in France have brought us the right partner here. And now maybe you might go into a bit of a quiet mode as you build out the pilot plant and all that. Or will there be other steps in between that you'll need to, you'll be talking to us about?
Probably the other steps in between as we move forward. I'm going to make sure I keep, you know, our shareholders informed. Make sure that we keep doing these interviews where we do, I think, address a lot of the issues going forward. We should do pretty soon a Beyond the Deck on just the fume silica one. And probably eventually have a question and answer, really have time to have a question and answer period to get all those issues moving forward. My key takeaway I want shareholders to understand is that HPQ is moving forward, okay? And a difficult market environment here, but it is really, it's what we have is so unique. How many companies you know can basically says, okay, hydrogen, we have got the interest of a big player. You know, in the car business, people got excited. When we're in the electricity business, people got completely nuts over the fact that we got some small, you know, we got some people showing interest. We got even bigger interest now for hydrogen. And in the battery business, in the coming weeks, we'll start to explain more what is our game plan in this regard. And this is also going to be something that can be game-changing for HPQ in the sense of building another very strong verticality in that regard. And the fume silica, it keeps advancing back and forth between different groups. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see what happens with fume silica there. We've got table. Sooner or later, someone's going to get it. I think someone's got to make a move sooner or later.
Yeah, I'll just give shareholders a hint or a bit of a background on this. You understand the concept that Fudster keeps saying, oh, my press release are basically fluff. Well, very interesting. One of the groups I'm having a discussion, and they came back to me and asking me, okay, where we are in the discussion, we'd like to figure out how did you come up with that number, that discussion? That's the level of discussion we're having. So A, they're reading our press release. B, they understand the significance of the press release, okay? And they're trying to understand how
the fact that the table talking with you means it's real. Because if you're putting out some kind of fantasy numbers out there, they wouldn't even pay attention to you. But the fact that they're reading the press releases, they're reading the numbers, and then they're calling you up to say, hey, let's discuss these numbers, that tells me that you're on the
watch. Well, basically,
by the way, you know, going back to... Huh? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, it's just, I find it interesting that the goal of that press release is twofold. Update shareholders of what's going on and send message to industrial player. And lo and behold, it is working.
Yeah, I think the more value comes from how you're letting the market in each vertical know how fast you're moving ahead and validating numbers and all of that. I think that's when I read the Arcus one this morning, I said, okay, Arcus is part of the Volvo group. That means they are on the watch. They are being watched by several, like dozens and dozens of competitors, partners, news and information, so many people. That's why it's so important that this is with Arcus and not with Georgecom swimming pool heaters, where no one's watching that. So who cares at the end of the day? And hopefully you'll sell me 5 units a year from now and hooray, right? That doesn't matter. So that's why I love press releases like this, Bernard, because you proved on the fumed silica side for sure how you're putting out the numbers, you're putting out your capabilities, and the industry's coming to you. So I can't wait to hear more of who else comes knocking on the door. By the way, I'm not sure if you answered the question, but I just want to ask it again. And I know you can't speak for Arcus. I know you can't. But what is their level, if you're able to kind of tell investors, what is their level of enthusiasm / I don't want to say excitement, but what's their level of enthusiasm in terms of this solution if it comes to fruition at the end of the day? How are they feeling about it?
My best way to answer this is as follows, okay? They have a problem, okay, that they know they have that situation, okay? They're looking for solution, and when we presented our solution, they showed an immediate interest to sign this type of discussion. Take it for what it is. If it wasn't that big of an issue for them, maybe they would, we'll wait till the model's finished. They show that.
Yeah, and if they're doing, you said earlier, $1 billion. Did you say earlier that they do it?
I think it's about a billion dollars in revenue. Yeah, it's big enough to need many, many, many of those systems. And as I tell you, we're going to make more money with selling the material to generate the hydrogen in the reactors. That's where the money's going to be.
Well, the reason I bring up their potential revenue, whatever that may be, is as companies get bigger, even if they like what Georgecom is doing over here, if it doesn't move the needle for them, it doesn't matter how exciting of something I may show Arcus or the likes of Arcus. If it doesn't move the needle for them, they just don't bother, right? That's just the way these big corporations work. They can't run around with little pet projects. So I have to assume that you can move the needle at Arcus.
Let me reverse the thing, okay? If, as you say, we didn't move the needle, they wouldn't have come and see them. Okay. They see a potential for us to move the needle with regard to one of the issues they have to deal with, which is reducing the CO2 footprint of military logistic trucks that are both armored and unarmored. So those are heavy trucks. They need a lot of energy to move forward. And, with what happened in the situation, I think military spending is going to go through the roof. So it's good to be in that space and to be at least invited to come and show your solutions to it. And what usually happens there, it starts there and you'll be invited to go meet other groups, different countries, those issues. So luckily for us, we have an incredibly good door opener in that group in France.
Yeah, so that's a good, and I thought we were going to end this a couple minutes ago, but you just opened up something interesting for us to talk about for another couple of minutes, which is, this is not just Arcus being a manufacturer who wants a better solution, okay, that's great on its own. But there is obviously great pressure from their clients, from government entities to find a way to reduce the emissions of their very products at the end of the day. So that's also a catalyst to these conversations. Because if anybody's watching the news over the last 2 years between Ukraine and Middle East and all the wars, we're seeing these military vehicles and they're just spewing, you know, their diesel, they're spewing out brown, black smoke. So is there that element also, Bernard, that helps push us along because they have mandates from government entities that want these to be cleaner emissions?
In all of our verticalities, okay, there are government dictated initiative with regard to reducing, well, government and societal, okay? There is a pressure from society for big companies to reduce their CO2 emission, right? And that is dictating something. Now, you have a situation where, you know, some hippies would tell us we have to reduce our consumption, that's the only way to do it. And some forward-thinking people like us think, no, I think we can make the same material that you need in a much better way, much more efficient way, okay? That is going to be greener. And that's exactly what HPQ, that's what we call green engineering. And in our case, we're doing it for hydrogen. We're doing it for fumed silica. We're going to do it for battery material.
Bernard, congratulations on another great milestone here. This is a really good one. I loved it. Can't wait to see how the hydrogen initiative really moves along now, and how everything goes with our Qs. And lastly, how many people start calling and how many doors start knocking as a result of this over the next 30, 60 days. But congratulations, my friend. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
To everybody at home, you've been watching or you've been listening to my podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform. To Bernard Tourdillon, CEO of HPQ Silicon, Trades in Canada, HPQ, Trades in the US, HPQFF. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then, don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform so you will never miss another one great Agora Gomez Small Cap podcast.